Do you ever get paranoid? Like, I always have to have it set up so that I can see the recording like go by while also looking at you because I get paranoid that it's gonna stop and we're gonna like get to the end where we're like, okay, wrapped up, and I'm like, oh my God, I only got 5 minutes of that.
That's fair. I definitely do get that. I mean, I always minimize you, so you're always like in a little box to my right. So the recording's the main. I'm keeping the main thing the main thing.
Keeping the main thing the main thing. Sometimes that's what you gotta do if you wanna get eliminated from Bachelor in Paradise.
Ah, man.
Everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie, and we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Telugu boys that we watch dubbed in Hindi.
We did indeed do that. I know, I was like, last week you said pan-Indian boys, but we can't say the same thing each.
No.
We gotta come up with new material, so.
We do. Prabhas boys.
Just yeah, sure.
Just the one Prabhas boy.
there's just the one Prabhas, but there only ever could
Well, there's
be.
technically two.
That's true. There are two. Okay, so Bahubali 2, the conclusion? Question
Dot, dot, dot.
mark? is our movie for this week. Katie, what'd you think?
I really liked it.
Okay.
I liked it as much as I liked the first one, and I think that I had fewer things that bothered me about this one,
That's good.
minus one pretty major character assassination, in my opinion. But as far as like actual representation of certain groups of people and things, I felt a little bit better about this one. There were some wild things that made me smile and laugh out loud. But yeah, that's where I'm at. What are your thoughts?
I think largely you and I are in agreement. I will say I was a little disappointed in part two. I did not enjoy it as much as the first one because I really thought that we were gonna get an even split between past and present.
I did too, yeah.
And it made like I'll in my notes there I keep like towards the end of the movie I keep being like, okay, there's less than an hour left, you guys.
Right.
There's only 40 minutes. Okay, there's literally 30 minutes. We only
Yeah.
have 30 minutes to take back the throne, you guys.
And there's like nothing about Shiva's love story anymore.
I don't think Avantika has a line in this movie.
No, she's kind of just there.
She's just there. She does get to participate in the battle, so that's good. We get to
Yeah.
see her fight, but like it's not very significant. And I would have loved to have seen him to have seen Shiva grapple with like suddenly he's the prince, suddenly he's the
Yeah.
royal, suddenly he's got to take over because he was just a lowly village boy. And I
Yeah.
think that's what makes those kinds of stories fun, the like
Right.
secret royal stories, because it's like suddenly he's got to figure out how to like take on that responsibility. And that's
Yeah.
interesting. There's good character juice there. And
Yeah, but I do wonder if maybe the whole point was that they were like, we don't want to get bogged down in character development. We just want glitzy glammy storming the palace, which they did.
I do think that's fair. I think it's like they focused all of the kind of characterization on the people in the past and they didn't really
Yeah.
do much with the people in the present. And it's sort of like, okay, well then what was sort of the point of having the two storylines if we were going to
Right.
spend almost the entirety of the two movies in the past?
Yeah.
And it made me wish, I wish that they had just planned to make three movies from the start. Like
Right.
we could like we have one movie that's kind of both. We have one movie that centers more on Bahubali, and then we have one movie that centers on Shiva like taking over.
Right.
That's what I would have wanted.
And I wonder if that's like what we're gonna see.
Maybe that's what's gonna
But
happen in the third one. But it wasn't what they were planning to do. So I feel like we get to the end of this movie and we can like assume it as being
yeah.
like a contained item, and I'm not satisfied with this like yeah. this set of two movies. I still did really enjoy it.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's entertaining, for sure.
Yeah.
I felt so much more of a draw to Bahubali, the dad, than I did to Shiva. You know? I'm like, at this point, it's been so long since we've even had any Shiva. Like, I'm way more of a fan of his father and how he operates and moves through the world.
That was the problem in my eyes, was that, like, I liked Shiva's whole thing at the start of the first movie. I really liked his character. I thought it was fun and interesting. I thought they were doing fun stuff with kind of the rebels and things. And I was excited the entire second half of the first movie and the entire first two-thirds or more of the second movie to go back to him.
Yeah, I agree with that. We also just, like, what makes Shiva so wonderful is how sweet he is, too, in the first movie. And, like, we don't get any of that. We just get, like, revenge-seeking Shiva in the second movie. And then it ends very abruptly.
It does end very abruptly, yeah. But, I agree, for the most part, like, the sexism that was in the first movie, we don't see as much in the second movie. Definitely still some caste discrimination going on. Still a weird, like, was that, like, at the end, like, the...
Yeah, I was like, are Calicchia's, we bringing back like,
came
the...
back?
Yeah, I didn't...
Why?
I didn't know if that was them, or I called them just, like, bandits?
Yeah, because that was the other... I didn't know that if they were, the... like, a tie-in from the bandits at the beginning, but it just... the fact that it was that unclear.
Yeah.
And it did look to me like these were people who had, like, painted their skin black.
And, like,
black.
The furs and stuff. It did seem reminiscent of the first film.
Yeah. But highly entertaining.
Yes. So, yeah, this was directed by S.S. Rajamouli. It stars Prabhas as both Bahubalis. Then we have Rana Dagubati as Balala Deva and Anushka Shetty as Devasena. And Satya Raj as Katappa. And Ramya Krishnan as Shivagami.
I was going to say, I do feel like Shivagami is, she's got more going on this movie than she did in the last one.
She does. And maybe not always in a great way.
No, not so much.
Yeah. So, are we ready?
I think so. Let's do it.
Okay. So, we pick up where we left off in the past with the kingdom celebrating that Bahubali will be their new king. Yay. But before Bahubali's coronation is the Devil Immolation Festival, which sounds awesome.
Sometimes you just gotta immolate some devils.
Yeah, exactly. Fire. For this festival, there is a tradition that the daughter-in-law of the royal family must walk barefoot 30 miles from the palace to Lord Shiva's temple, carrying an urn of burning coals on her head. So Shivagami does this, and she's crushing it, she's doing great, until some elephants go feral in one of the villages, and they start attacking people very randomly.
I don't know what set these guys off, but they're unhappy.
Like, all of them. These are clearly tamed elephants.
Yeah.
And elephants are smart. They don't just, go haywire.
Maybe they saw a mouse.
Maybe. You know what? That's probable. Yeah. Shivagami isn't allowed to stop, so she tells Katappa to save all the people he can while she faces down a wild elephant.
Sure.
But then, out of nowhere, her son, Bahubali, emerges from a warehouse with a giant cart, and he runs over the elephant with it. Shivagami then walks between the wheels of this giant cart to finish her journey. Bahubali befriends this elephant, and then the elephant helps him shoot a giant bow and flaming arrow to light a giant effigy.
To immolate the devils.
Yes, the devils. It's cool. It's fun.
Yes, the devils.
The devils.
I did say that this whole sequence maybe is not quite as cool as Rithik, quote-unquote, taming a real elephant.
For sure.
But we do stand the use of CGI animals in place of real animals.
Especially for elephants, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I do also think that this is a worthwhile place for me to say that Prabhas as Bahubali is looking great. He's got some more beard under the mustache. Yeah. It's an excellent look for him. The hair, it's all working.
I think maybe that's also the thing. I just think he's hotter than his son. And, like, it's the same guy.
It's the same
guy. They're both hot, but...
Yeah. But there's different facial hair going on, and I do think Prabhas can pull off literally any look, any level of facial hair, but I do think, like, I really like him when he's, like, scruffy. Like, really scruffy.
Yeah.
Like, really unkempt.
Yes. You like an unkempt beard.
Yes.
Yeah. But Hubli, he's great. Yeah. Also, you just feel safe with him, you know? He's, like, he's gentle, but he can kick butt.
But he's, tame, like, competent. Elephants.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was like, this is not a Bahubali appreciation podcast or a Prabhas appreciation podcast, but maybe it should be.
Maybe it should be. Maybe we're transitioning in that direction.
Okay, once they're back at the palace, Bahubali helps Shivagami recover. And then we go to Bijaladeva, Shivagami's husband, who asks his son, Balaladeva, again, who I sometimes call Bala.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. If he's ever just casually felt like killing his mother.
Totally normal.
Yeah, he's like, have you ever thought about killing your mother? Because I have. But Bala just tells his father that he's drunk. And they leave it at that.
Yeah.
Like, that's wild. If one parent's like, have you ever, like, wanted to murder your other parent? Because I have. It's like, you're drunk.
Yeah, there's a lot of problematic family dynamics playing out in that moment.
Yeah. I don't like him.
No.
There are times in this film I don't like Shivagami either.
No, definitely.
I feel like she takes it beyond being just, like, a normal flawed human being and becomes, like, a jerk. But...
And I think different from how we were introduced to her.
Yeah. So we'll talk about it. There's plenty to talk about.
Yeah.
Next, we see Shivagami refusing a potential match for Bahubali. She tells the astrologer to remember that not only will this woman be Bahubali's wife, she'll also be the queen of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Shivagami then calls for Bahubali and tells him that he'll be going on a tour. And when one of her advisors protests, she says that Bahubali needs to go in order to see if his people are happy. And she promises that by his return, she will have found a princess worthy of being his wife.
That's nice.
We like that.
Go out and meet some ladies.
Yeah.
Or, so, well, never mind.
Well, she'll meet the ladies for
she'll
you.
She'll do the, yeah.
Ooh, but he's gonna meet some ladies. Have you seen him?
I have.
Yeah. So Kutapa and Bahubali ride out. They go around the kingdom, but at one point when they stop for water, they find a bunch of dead people floating in the water, and Kutapa says it must be bandits.
I thought it was so funny when he goes down to drink the water and then all these bodies. And yeah. I'm like, you didn't notice a single one of those bodies.
They all rose at the same time.
At the same time. It was like he broke the surface tension when he got the drink of water and they all rose. I also, Kutapa is a very cool guy.
Yeah.
He's very handy and good at stuff. And I did write that Graham McTavish would be a good Kutapa if
In like the English adaptation,
which there shouldn't be, that shouldn't happen, but if it did, Graham McTavish,
you're right, they would probably get along. Yeah,
absolutely. They can just be bald guys together.
Bald mustache bros.
Yeah. Is that a problematic thing for me to say, like, all bald guys must be friends with each other?
No, because we're not saying, no, we're just saying those two in particular.
Just and those I think two, yeah,
they'd probably agree.
Yeah.
They're multifaceted. They seem like they're tough on the outside, but then they've got gentle eyes.
Yes, like they can play a villain, but they can also play somebody who you, like, love and trust.
Yeah.
I think if the two of them are aware that the other exists, they would respect each other. There'd be a mutual respect there.
Wow. If that has ever happened, if they've ever met, tell us.
Please, yes, write in. Graham, Satya Raj,
We know you're listening. Back at home, Shivagami is clearly trying to appease Bala for not making him king. Bala says that he is not so petty as to lament that his younger brother was chosen over him to be king. Still, he looks angry as he walks away.
He does, yes.
I mean, he always looks angry. Honestly, he'd be cuter if he smiled more.
Boom.
Yeah, roasted. Meanwhile, Bahubali and Kachapa are visiting a village when Bahubali sees a beautiful lady. And just then, bandits attack. And Bahubali watches as this pretty lady draws a sword and fights off four bandits at once.
Yeah, very impressive.
It is so impressive, yeah. And Bahubali is, like, instantly in love.
Oh, yeah.
He decides to join the fight when he sees a bunch of bandits hiding out in the woods, and we get some cool fight scenes, including a bit where Bahubali throws an axe from a long way away and Kachapa catches it. That's like mm-hmm. their move. It's a good move.
Yes, they're a good team.
Mm-hmm. But there's a fun moment where Kachapa gets grappled by like five bandits and he's asking Bahubali for help, but Bahubali is too busy being distracted, thinking of this beautiful woman. And he comes to just in time to, like, cut down a tree that lands on all the bad guys and saves Kachapa.
It's a very conveniently shaped tree.
Yeah. Just. And he's just smart enough to recognize that it'll work.
Yes.
This woman, who is Devasena, is taking charge. She's giving orders to the men in town to find the bandits' hideout. She's just, like, super awesome.
Yes. Very competent.
Bahubali and Kachapa cook up a scheme where Bahubali pretends to be totally useless, and Kachapa arranges for Devasena to take Bahubali in and train him up as a guard. And I'm like, this is so elaborate. Like, what?
It's also, like, so, just so quintessential, I feel, of, like, this genre of movie is just to have this, like, kind of subplot. This sort of, like, separate plot that happens to set up the love story before we get back to our main plot. And, like, and it's also just, like, some peak Prabhas adorableness through this whole thing. Like, I was totally here for all this.
Yeah, he's like, I can't do anything.
I don't know. I'm just a big, strong guy.
Yeah, it's amazing. But Devasena takes them to her gorgeous palace in the mountains, Kuntala Kingdom, and we learn that she's the best archer in her kingdom, but she's still never satisfied because she wants to learn how to shoot two arrows at once, but, like, to hit different targets. At this palace, Bahubali pretends to be a total simpleton, and this other noble guy, Kamara, says that he'll teach him how to wield a sword. He kind of takes Bahubali in under his tutelage. But Kamara's kind of a joke. He ends up being a really...
He does redeem himself.
We then see Devasena go to visit Kumara, and she says she missed his impressive feat this morning, because the whole thing was that Bahubali played it off as like, oh, wow, Kumara, you're so strong. You did that. And she says she'd like to see it now, since she missed it. And luckily, Kachapa shows up at the right time to come up with an excuse for Kumara. And Devasena then tells them that they're all going hunting for wild boar tomorrow morning. And she's like, Bahubali should come along too. She also doesn't know Bahubali's name. She calls him Shivu.
She calls him Shivudu, which is also apparently what Shiva's name is. Which is a nice connection. But also, I still call him Shiva because that's what the Hindi movie told me to call him.
Yeah,
the
Hindi it's dub. Like Shivu, Shivudu, Shiva... Bahubali.
Just call them all Shiv. I do like that she is picking up on something. I think there's smart. Something going on with this, like, humble beefcake. He's got something. Something's happening here with this guy. But also, why do they have so many just, like, stumps around
this palace? Yeah, it's a great question.
There's just stumps galore for men to, like, perform great feats of strength.
Maybe that's why.
I guess.
Yeah, I hadn't questioned that, but you're so true. I mean, it's kind of like a forest kingdom.
That's true. I did, when it first showed up, I was like, ah, Rivendell.
Yes, it's so pretty.
Very pretty.
Until it doesn't exist anymore. Anyway.
Yeah.
The next day, they go on the hunt, and Bahubali rides in Kumara's chariot, and he helps him beat Devasena to every kill.
Yes.
And she starts to suspect Bahubali of something, so she asks him what his name is, and he says, Shivu. Yeah. She then trips, and he catches her, his bare hand touching her bare waist. Ooh. And she says she recognizes the calluses of a warrior's hand.
Yeah,
and so she calls for a test. This is like, this
is, yeah, like pure romance novel stuff here. It's great.
Oh, yeah, we love it. We love it. We love a waist graze.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, and a calloused hand.
Yes, all of it. So good. I have calloused hands.
Because of all the swordplay.
Yeah, exactly. Devasena has Bahubali stand in the middle of a road, and then she sends a bull out to run at him.
Yeah.
And Bahubali just, like, straight up lets himself get run over.
Yeah.
And he breaks his arm.
Yeah.
But it's cool because Devasena is there to help nurse him back to health. And we get a song where Devasena is basically pretty much falling in love with Bahubali, and mm-hmm. she regrets getting him run over by a bull.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would too. I would feel bad about that.
Yeah.
I really loved this number. I think this is my favorite, like, song from the movie. I think visually the swan number I enjoyed more, but the music through all of this was really beautiful, and the women all dancing together is, I really enjoyed that.
Yes, I agree. It was nice. Back at home, Bala gets a report of where Bahubali and Katapa are and what Bahubali is doing for his love of Devasena. Bala then sees a portrait of Devasena, and you know, I wrote that he immediately falls in love with her, but I don't think he does.
No, that was my first thought too, but it's more like he wants to possess her.
Exactly. Yes, because he's gross and we don't like him. Gross.
Yeah.
So Bala shows Shivagami a giant portrait. It's so huge, of Devasena.
He blew it up in Photoshop.
He really, I mean, yeah, I was like, that otherwise, that would have taken weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he says that he wants her for his wife. And Shivagami says that he gave up the throne with so much grace, he deserves this. Devasena will be his wife. So Shivagami leaps into action to shower Devasena with gifts and get this marriage contract signed. At Devasena's palace in Kuntala Kingdom, they receive a letter from Shivagami declaring that she'd like Devasena to be her daughter-in-law. Weirdly doesn't specify which son.
It is important, I think, when you have two sons to specify which one you're talking about.
Yeah. Especially when one of them is, like, the crown prince and one of them is, like, a commander.
And one of them is, like, a wonderful, gallant, perfect specimen of manliness, and the other one is kind of a dick.
Yeah, terrible. Terrible. I called him a whiny little jerk at one point. I wanted to call him something else.
He is a whiny jerk.
Yeah. But Katapa overhears this and delightfully thinks, wow, of course the Queen Mother, she just knew. She's chosen Devasena for Bahubali, and she doesn't even know that he's already in love with her. Like, wow, amazing, perfect. And the minister who came along with all of the treasures from Mahishmati, he has this whole speech that Devasena is lucky to have received this wealth and attention in her small kingdom from Mahishmati and how glorious they are. And, like, you just see Katapa, like, shake his head. He's like, this is not the way
to go. Yeah.
And sure enough, Devasena says that if the prince has even an ounce of the arrogance the minister has, she would not marry him. So she sends a reply to Shivagami saying that the letter mentioned nothing of her son's character, and so she must assume that he is a wimp who hides behind women. And basically, yeah, insults Balaladeva, says no to the marriage, and Shivagami is incredibly insulted by this.
Yeah.
Which, I'm like, that I do understand. I understand being insulted.
She is a proud woman.
Right, yes. Yeah. So that makes sense. However, she then immediately orders her commander to wage war against Kuntala Kingdom.
Yeah, that I don't think is what she would do.
No, I'm like, okay, well, that's a weird choice for you. Like,
yeah, because she's really into statecraft. That was her whole thing in the beginning. And it's like, yeah, sure, she can, like, lay down a little violence when she needs to, but, like, she wouldn't start war against, like, a lesser kingdom.
Yeah, she wouldn't just needlessly murder a bunch of soldiers and stuff.
Yeah.
Luckily, somehow, Bijaladeva, her husband, stops her, saying that Bahubali is already in that area, so there's no need for them to wage war when he could crush the kingdom single-handedly. True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shivagami agrees, and she sends orders to Bahubali to bring Devasena home as his prisoner. Meanwhile, back in Kuntala Kingdom, Kachapa finds Bahubali and tells him that his mother has asked Devasena to marry him, but Devasena denied the proposal. And Bahubali says that's a good thing, because it means that she is in love with him as Shivu, not Bahubali. But then, Bahubali hears enemy bandits approaching. So Bahubali hurries toward Devasena's room, only to be stopped by Kumara.
Mm-hmm.
Kumara kicks him,
yeah.
But then the enemies arrive, and Bahubali just takes out an entire horde of them. And he and Kachapa start fighting the bad guys, and it becomes very clear that these guys know what they're doing, and Bahubali's incredible.
Yes.
Kumara, on the other hand, is not so much. He goes and he hides with the women in the room where they're hiding.
Yeah.
Bahubali finds him there and tells him that this is his chance to go from a spineless man to a warrior, and he gives him one of his daggers.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bahubali's like, okay, bye, and jumps out a window just as all these bad guys break into the room. And Kumara's, like, pretty immediately stabbed.
Yeah, I thought he was down
in the
chest.
I did, too. That was that. Bahubali's gonna have to come back and save all these women.
Yeah.
But no, Kumara fights back, and he does a great job protecting everyone, and now he's like, wow, I can do it. Which is great.
He just needed to be inspired.
Yeah, that's just Bahubali, you know? He sees the potential in people, and he allows them to grow into it.
Yes, absolutely.
He'd be a great manager.
Great supervisor, yeah.
Yeah, or like King, you know, who's like the biggest manager and supervisor of them all.
Manages us all, yes.
Yeah. We then see Devasena walking down a hallway when a bunch of bad guys climb up and over a balcony. She shoots a bunch of them with her bow and arrow, but then... And this is the energy that the first movie, I think, was trying to capture but failed miserably. Mm-hmm. This is how it's done.
Yes, this is how it's done.
Yes, then Bahubali appears behind her and shoots three separate arrows at the same time, which she's like, oh my god, I've always wanted to do that. And he immediately teaches her how to do it.
Yeah.
He doesn't mansplain. He's just like, you do this. And she does it. And then they both start shooting bad guys, working together effortlessly.
It's sheer perfection. It's like, it's beautifully done. Because it's not like exactly like you said. It's not like he's like teaching her. It's it's a game recognizing game moment where he's like, you can do this. Let me just give you the one tip and then you're golden. And off you go. Yeah, it's perfect.
This is truly one of the sexiest things I've ever seen.
It's very sexy. I like this scene a whole lot. And it's like, he's not there to, like, fix her. He's not there. He's there to support her.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And that's what we want.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
It's great. It's perfect. They're working together as equals.
Yes. Yes.
It's like the Jodha Akbar sexy sword fight.
It is, yeah. But yeah, it doesn't have that same like fake animosity. It's not fake animosity, but there's not that level of tension. But it's like the working together. I also, can I just, while we're sort of on the subject of the improved feminine depiction that we have here, I did want to say one thing I had disagreed with from one of the articles that you read last week was criticizing how Shivagami is this strong woman, but they have to also make her a mother, and that in some way like detracting from this image of her as a strong woman. And that I actually disagree with, and I think especially when we see her, like, there's scenes where like she's like doing her business and Bahubali is literally like laying with his head in her lap, and I'm like, I actually think that is really showing, like, truly, like, this is a woman who is strong and a mother, and there's a lot of strength in that too. So I just, that was something I had meant to say last week that had just completely like left my brain in the moment, so I wanted to make sure to say it now.
Yes, I agree with that. So the palace gets overrun by literally, like, hundreds of bandits.
Yeah.
But then Kachapa releases a massive herd of bulls with flaming horns. to trample a lot of bad guys, right? Yeah.
We don't need to set all of our bulls on fire.
Yeah, and I understand they probably, like, you know, put twine around the horns or something. But, like, yeah, that's probably not good for them. I think horns can catch on fire.
Yeah, I don't think that would be the safest move.
No. But CGI-wise, looked cool. Looked definitely cool. Yeah. Scary.
Not real cows.
No. Yeah, and then there's, like, a bunch of hand-to-hand combat. And Bahubali rides on top of the flaming bulls to get to where the head bandit is. And he gets a group of guys to help him break this massive dam, which unleashes a flood of water that wipes out all the bad guys, but conveniently ends, like, 1 foot below the top of the palace walls.
Yes.
Very convenient. He definitely knew
exactly how much. Yeah.
How much water there was and which path it would take. Mm-hmm.
He did a quick, like, volume calculation. Yeah.
Yeah, and Bahubali just, like, floats up on a giant tree, like, just super cool, and, like, steps onto the palace wall where everyone is, and they're all like, wow, thank God you were here.
Yeah.
You're incredible. And Kajapa takes this opportunity to tell the king and queen that Bahubali is in love with Devasena. Just then, a bird arrives from Shivagami, telling Bahubali to take Devasena captive.
Yeah.
That's awkward. He tells her this. He's very upfront. And she calls it betrayal. She then asks him again who he is, but he refuses to tell her until she smacks him in the chest with, like, a torch and burns away his shirt. Just setting everyone on fire over here. revealing the armor and sigil beneath.
Mm-hmm.
And Kajapa then gleefully announces that this is the crown prince of Mahishmati, Bahubali. And everyone's like, what? Yeah, like, you don't really expect, like, a crown prince to just be, like, chilling in your, like, servants' quarters.
No, yeah, pretending to be a big buffoon.
Yeah, for love. I love it. Bahubali tells Devasena that Shivagami must have a reason for making this command, and if she would just come with him as his captive, they'll figure it out together. He's like, my mother never does anything without a reason, and she's super compassionate and nice and all that stuff. Bahubali says that he is with Devasena until death parts them, and mm-hmm. he will not let her chastity or respect be tarnished.
No.
And that does it. She's like, okay, yeah, I'll come with you.
Do it for me too.
Yeah, me too. And so they sail back to Mahishmati on a super cool swan boat.
Well, before they get on the swan boat,
talk about the moment? Yeah, okay.
Just the using his shoulders as a bridge moment is great. And I just love how immediately he, like, jumps in the water for her. Yeah. It's like the bridge thing falls, and he just, like, immediately gets in the water and is like, I am your bridge.
Yeah, even though, you know, you could just bring the boat over or just pick up that thing and put it there.
There were options, but they weren't as sexy as this one.
You know, I was literally, as that was happening, I was going to tell Chris, like, why don't you ever let me walk over your shoulders as a bridge?
I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, no, it'd be very unsteady, and it would probably be painful for everyone involved.
I don't think anyone would come out dry.
No.
experience. That's not true. Like, I don't have good enough balance, and it's also, like, it's not like it's a balance beam. It's like a shifting, moving body.
Yeah, it's a human being. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
I did like that moment. And we get a love song that is super catchy.
Yeah, very catchy.
I really liked it. And Bahubali and Devasena are doing this fun, flirty, back and forth challenging thing with, like, mm-hmm. magic.
Yeah.
Well, definitely magic, because then the swan boat flies.
Flies!
Yeah.
On its way to Neverland.
Yes, exactly. And also there are cloud horses.
There are cloud horses. Yes, there are.
It was all great, let's be honest.
I saw a very funny thing on Instagram. Something popped up from the Bahubali, like, Instagram movie page.
Uh-huh.
And it was a still from this song where he's, like, standing behind her on the deck of the ship, like, holding her from behind. And the caption was, the CEO and HR manager of Mahishmati.
That's so funny. I love that whole thing. I can't, yeah, we didn't talk about that. That was like real life reality television.
Yeah, I know. I love that. And then Kartik also did a spoof of it on Instagram where he was like he was cheating on his diet.
So funny.
Just, you know, it's nice when little moments like that, like, literally connect the world. It's like, yes, we're all just trolling. We're all just laughing at the same memes. It's great.
Truly. But that was stupid. You shouldn't go to a public place with your affair partner.
No, like, yeah. I guess, I mean, I've never been to a concert that had a kiss cam, so maybe they just didn't think that it was going to be a thing, but still seems risky, especially when you're like people who could be so easily identified.
Exactly. And it's funny when I like to watch them realize it and be like,
oh. Yeah, it's really funny. Just instant karma is a beautiful thing.
Well, and that's the thing, it's like, oh, should I feel bad about making fun of them? But like, nah, no. You shouldn't do that.
They did this to themselves. And, like, they're going to be fine. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's getting a divorce, but, like, everyone's fine.
And he's not CEO anymore.
Well, he's probably still fine.
He's probably got
and she's. I'm sure that she's in trouble with HR. She's in trouble with herself.
Yes. So she'll be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, love that. It's great. They return to Mahishmati, and Devasena apologizes to Shivagami for her arrogance. And here I'm like, okay, we've got our Shivagami back. She's like, appreciates the apology, and she says that the arrogance actually makes Devasena even more attractive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, let's remember those words.
Yeah, you like that she's spirited.
Yeah. She tells Devasena to stand next to her future husband, but when Devasena, like, moves toward Bahubali, Shivagami is like, what are you doing? Like, no, you're marrying, like, Balaladeva. And Devasena is like, I thought I was being asked to marry Bahubali, who I am also in love with. Like, that makes sense.
It seemed real convenient at the time.
Yeah. But Shivagami says that she promised Balaladeva that he would marry Devasena. Devasena, rightfully so, says Shivagami has no right to make that decision without her consent.
Yep.
And so Devasena then calls her tactless, which sets off Shivagami. So she just orders that Devasena be tied up.
Yeah.
I feel like she's, like, just a little power hungry at this point. And it's like, you can't question me. Yeah. Questioning me makes you wrong and makes you a threat.
Right. And I just don't feel like that's what we were setting up her character to be. Like, I feel like if we had somehow made it clearer that she was being manipulated by the bad guys, by B&B.
But it was already starting before we actually see that manipulation.
Right. And so I feel like that should have been what it was the whole time.
Yeah. But yeah, so Shivakami's guards go to tie up Devasena, but Bahubali jumps in the way to protect her. And he's like, you gotta go through Bahubali's sword if you want to do that. And they're all like, no thanks.
Yeah.
And remembering a lesson in which his mother told him to always stand up for what is right, even if it is God who has made the mistake, Bahubali tells Shivagami that she made a mistake. Now, Shivagami is, like, beyond insulted at that.
Yeah.
And says that Bahubali has a choice. Be king of Mahishmati or marry the manipulator. Bahubali says that he cannot go back on his promise to Devasena, so he will choose her.
Mm-hmm.
Giving up the kingdom. And Balaladeva becomes king.
Great.
And I'm like, why? She was so good in the first movie at, like, considering all the angles and all the facts and all the things she should consider.
Yeah.
I don't know why she would just be like, well, I'm mad at you, so I'm going to make this guy king, even though he really shouldn't be king because I've already had that discussion with myself.
And determined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I also, like, I feel like she would be proud of Bahubali and his morals, that he was like, I made a promise, I'm going to keep my promise. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like the story, they wanted the narrative to go in a specific way and couldn't figure out how to do it without throwing Shivagami under the bus.
I feel like there is some cheap storytelling that happens throughout this. And I also was just like, you know, how much of this movie is this all going to take up? Because right. it's like this, none of these things ends up being the thing.
Yeah,
that,
no.
That causes the murder. It's like
correct.
So yeah. much stuff still happens.
Yeah, yeah. It's wild.
Yeah.
So yeah, Balaladeva is king. Bahubali is named the commander, but the crowd at the coronation gets really unruly, saying that Bahubali should be king and Balaladeva doesn't deserve the throne.
Yeah, they're right.
And Balaladeva suggests, like, hey, Bala, why don't you have Bahubali killed? Mm-hmm. Done. Problem solved.
Yeah.
Balaladeva says that he can't do that because even though he's king and can issue orders, the power to execute those orders still lies with Shivagami. And I'm like, what kind of kingdom is this? I'm so confused. I thought she was just like the, like, what do you call it? Regent?
The regent, yeah.
Yeah, taking care of the throne until the next person was crowned.
Yeah, and so now that he is.
You'd think he'd have.
He's king, but whatever.
I mean, also, Mahishmati law says that you're guilty until proven innocent if you're accused of something, which is wild.
Mahishmati's a rough place to live. Like.
Apparently. It was a paradise, but I guess not. Yeah. Balaladeva's like, I'm going to change this whole system. We'll figure it out. And Balaladeva helps him by repeatedly telling Shivagami that Bahubali is a serpent in her nest. Meanwhile, Bahubali and Devasena get married, and Bahubali is sure that Shivagami will be angry with them only until they give her a grandchild. Which is good, because Devasena is soon pregnant.
Yay!
She even asks Katapa to stand in place of the baby's grandfather and hold it after it's born to bless it with a long life. Which is so beautiful, and yeah. I just love knowing that that's like the basis of his relationship with Shiva or Shiva.
Wouldn't it have been nice to have seen some of that?
Yep. But no. So then Shivagami shows up to this baby shower to give Devasena her blessing, but she completely ignores Bahubali. Like,
yeah.
It's honestly, it's giving big, like, single mother energy where it's like, my son is all I have.
Just like nightmare mother in law scenario yes. right here. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, back off, lady. Then, also at the baby shower, Balaladeva shows up, and he offers his gift, which is to replace Bahubali as commander with someone else, so that he, quote, has more time to spend with Devasena. You're welcome. Rude. Yeah. Shivagami is shocked by this, and Devasena is like, hello? Yeah. Why are you just, like, witnessing this charade and all this stuff that's happening without speaking out against it? Like, mm-hmm. it's pretty apparent where we're headed. And Devasena then tells Bahubali that he must do as she and the people wish, which is that he ascend to the throne of Mahishmati. Mm-hmm. And there's gasps all around. Shortly after that, there's an incident at the temple where the new commander is inappropriately touching women, and Devasena chops off his fingers.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, good on you. That's awesome. And I'm happy to see that, too, because I was worried that we were also kind of getting into the, like, well, now she's married and she's not, like, the fighter.
She's not a warrior anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
So it was nice to see that and be like, oh, she'll get you.
Yeah.
But she's arrested for this and brought in front of Shivagami and Balaladeva. And she goes off on them about how, like, you can't run a kingdom like this. And then Bahubali shows up. And he asks Devasena what happened, and she explains that this guy was touching the women in line at the temple, and Bahubali says that she shouldn't have chopped off his fingers, she should have chopped off his head. And yep. then he spins around and just chops off the commander's head.
Casual.
Very casual. Very cool. Balaladeva's, like, not happy about that.
No. I get it.
Yeah, and Shivagami's like, okay, you've both committed royal treason by questioning my methods. Mm-hmm. So you're now being exiled from the palace with just the clothes on your back. Then Bahubali and Devasena leave the palace, and the common people are like, that sucks, but hey, you get to live with us now.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, we get a montage of Bahubali working alongside the laborers and designing machines that make their work easier. And then we see Balaladeva tell Balaladeva that as long as Bahubali is alive, the people will treat him as their king. Mm-hmm. Vijayadeva then lies to Shivagami and tells her that Bahubali is out there telling the subjects they don't need a king, and he's clearly, like, planning a revolt. Also, it just occurred to me, why didn't we get more background about the, like, rebels in the present day? Well, and, like, where they came from, and, like...
We didn't have time.
I know, but that feels more important to the present plot.
And I think what we're supposed to understand is that they're, like, from Kuntala Kingdom.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But, like, again, yeah, this is why we needed... And, listen, I liked, you know, I enjoyed this whole thing of them, like, oh, living among the common people and stuff. We didn't need it.
No.
And we didn't need so many, like, peaks and valleys of the tension. It's like, let's just have there be one fight. Let's get back to the present. Let's hear what's going on there and take back the kingdom.
Yeah, that's true. And then there's a celebration for Bahubali and Devasena's unborn child, and Kumara is there too, and he sees an assassin with a dagger in the crowd, and Kumara follows that assassin and discovers that he was sent by Balaladeva. Mm-hmm. And he also sees a conversation between Balaladeva and Vijayadeva, where Vijayadeva seems to change his tune and say that Balaladeva can't order that Bahubali and his family be killed. That's crazy. And Bala tells him to stay out of his way or he'll forget that he's his father. Bala stalks away and Kumara approaches Vijayadeva because he's a sweet dummy.
Yeah.
And he tells him that he heard everything and he wants to tell Bahubali about Bala's plan. But Vijayadeva says that Bahubali doesn't understand craftiness. So the only thing to be done is for Kumara to kill Bala. So Kumara gathers some men, and Vijayadeva shows him into Bala's room at night, but it turns out to be an ambush, and all of Kumara's men are killed, and Vijayadeva says that Kumara will be the reason for Bahubali's official death warrant. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, Vijayadeva kills Kumara and then brings in Shivagami to show her what happened, and he convinces her that Bahubali must die. She says that if Bahubali is sentenced to death, the people will revolt and there will be civil war, which is not good for the country, obviously. So Shivagami comes up with a different plan that won't bloody the king's hands. Balaladeva orders Kattapa to kill Bahubali. Mm-hmm. Kattapa says he won't do it and that they should behead him for his refusal. Shivagami then asks him if he will make her carry out this order, and he says he can't let that sin stain her hands, so he will do it after all.
This just felt really weak to me.
Yeah.
I was expecting more from this.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, why didn't Kattapa... They've been friends for so long, and, like, they trust each other, and so I feel like he could have been like, are you good? Like, something's been off with you lately.
Again, it's weak storytelling. It's like they knew the point they needed to get to, and they didn't really care... how they didn't really care about getting there in a way that actually made narrative sense.
Yeah, which is a bummer. A messenger then tells Bahubali that Kattapa is being accused of royal treason, so Bahubali sets out to save him, and he does that. There's, like, a whole thing with then there's, like, these bandits or the Kalakayas or we don't know, trying to kill them, and there's a sweet moment as, like, Bahubali and Kattapa are facing down these guys where Bahubali is like, as long as you're by my side, no one can touch me. Because Kattapa is kind of like, you should just leave.
Yeah.
But then at one point, Bahubali throws Kattapa his sword like he always does. And that's when Kattapa stabs him in the back. Yeah. And Bahubali dies. And then Balaladeva shows up. He's like, oh, I didn't know you were going to do that. And then he just repeatedly, like, axes Bahubali's dead body while he, like, reveals his whole evil scheme that he had been doing to get to this point.
Again, very, very weak storytelling.
Yeah, and Kattapa's like, well, this is news to me.
Yep.
So Kattapa arrives back at the palace and tells Shivagami that it's done. And I like this. He smears Bahubali's blood on Shivagami's hands.
Yes.
Kattapa tells her the truth he learned and that Bahubali's last words were, protect my mother. Mm-hmm. And this is a terrible realization for Shivagami. And I'm like, yeah, girl. Oh, God. You've been horrible. You've been a horrible person.
You really have.
Yeah. As she's dealing with that, Devasena bursts into the room holding her newborn baby, and Kadapa is like, I killed your husband. So sorry. And then Bijaladeva and Balaladeva show up, and Bijaladeva tells Shivagami that they have to kill the baby now. Like, uh-huh. We're just murdering everyone. Let's murder this whole line.
Left and right. Dead, dead, dead.
Shivagami then, like, has to go outside to address the crowd because they're like, is Bahubali dead? And she does announce, like, yes, he's dead. But then she holds up the new baby and mm-hmm. is like, this is your new king, Mahendra Bahubali. And the crowd's like, cool, baby king. We love that. So Shivagami tells Balaladeva that the guilty must be hanged, but he responds, I thought of this, so of course I took precautions. And Bijaladeva orders that Shivagami and the baby be killed.
Mm-hmm.
Kadapa fights to protect them, and he helps them escape, but Devasena stays behind because she's too weak. She just gave birth.
She did indeed. Yeah.
As Shivagami is escaping the palace grounds, Balaladeva shoots her in the back with an arrow. Okay, now we're caught up to the beginning of Bahubali 1.
Yep.
Then we get a voiceover from Kadapa saying that after Shivagami's death, Balaladeva destroyed Kuntala Kingdom. Just burned it to the ground.
Darn.
And now we're finally back in the present. With Kadapa talking to our present Bahubali, saying that your motherland is waiting for you. And then Bahubali's like, okay, cool, you gather the commoners because we're going to take back our kingdom.
We get to this point and there's like, it doesn't really feel like there's going to be a real payoff because it's going to happen so fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, we don't really get to sit with anything that we're experiencing. It's just like, boom, 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 boom.
Right. Yeah. Agreed. And sure enough, in Mahishmati, Balaladeva is being a whiny little jerk, saying that his power and his kingdom and his big gold statue don't make him happy.
No.
All that actually made him happy was Devasena being miserable in chains.
He should really explore that in therapy.
Yeah, he needs therapy pretty hardcore. A messenger runs in at that point to tell Balaladeva and his father that Kadapa is gathering commoners for a revolt against them. And Balaladeva goes onto the balcony to look through his massive telescope situation. Yeah. And he sees Devasena appear holding the head of his dead son. Because remember, yeah.
Ouch.
Dead son got murdered last episode.
Last episode.
Last movie. And then there's Bahubali. And he's like, I've seen a ghost. He looks exactly like his father.
My son looked nothing like me.
Yeah. Weird how that worked out. Bahubali then shoots Bala's son's head with an arrow so that it flies right into Bala's hands.
Yeah, that's rude.
It's disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
And Bala has this weird speech about, like, you will sit on top of a pile of heads. Like, that's what I'll do for you. And then he's like, attack. So there's a battle. And Balaladeva brings out his spinny death chariot again. But this time it's pulled by bulls. And it's got arrows that shoot out the front of it.
Yeah, he souped it up.
He did. It's really wild. And using this death chariot, Balaladeva is able to reach Devasena. And he ties her up and he puts her in the chariot, then heads back into the palace. Now here, I'm like, I know she's been through a lot.
But she's a warrior.
She's a warrior. Why didn't they give her a sword? She could defend herself. Like, she might still lose out. Like, he might still win in that fight.
But give
why
her a
did
chance.
We just... Yeah. They're like, you're old. And by old, I mean you're 45. You clearly can't do anything anymore.
No. Yeah. He's just going to, like, pick you up, put you somewhere else.
Yeah. I hated that. I was like,
yeah, me too.
That's not who she is, but...
No.
Whatever. Bahubali races after him on a horse, and he jumps up to enter the palace, only to be shot in the chest. But he's fine. He's fine.
That doesn't do much to him. His dad, either.
Yeah, they're all fine. Well, not his dad anymore. His dad's dead, but...
But that one time he got shot by the arrow, he was fine.
Yeah. So Kadapa stops him from going on a suicide mission by running into the palace alone, and he tells him to think like his father. This was my favorite part.
This was wild.
Because they end up using palm trees to catapult groups of soldiers through the air over the palace walls, who somehow use their shields and, like, bind together to be, like, a little shield wheel.
Yeah.
And then they don't get hurt when they land on the walls.
There's definitely one group that you see doesn't make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the camera just sort of pans away. It's just, like, one group just kind of falls out of frame.
Well, yeah, because you see some of them just smash into the wall and, like...
Yeah. And it's like, no... Everyone, almost everyone made it, and that's what matters. This is very ridiculous and fun,
it was so good, enjoyable,
and we're here for it.
Yeah. Bahubali then single-handedly breaks the chains holding the drawbridge so that his troops can enter the palace. After that, Bahubali finds Devasena and frees her from the guards holding her, and then he launches himself at Balaladeva. And they start fighting, and Bahubali... like manages to destroy the spinny death chariot. That's cool. And then they're fighting hand to hand, and they're just kind of hitting each other with various things. And then eventually they take down the giant gold statue, and that smashes through a good chunk of the palace.
Yep.
And Balaladeva is so upset that Bahubali ruined his statue that he feels the need to remove his armor and then like flex his bare torso a lot.
Yeah, we gotta get some, like, peck-to-peck action.
Yeah, and, like, posturing.
Yeah.
And then he wrestles Bahubali to the ground and, like, rips off his armor.
He does. It's something.
Yeah, so that he can literally, like, so he can try to literally reach into Bahubali's chest and pull out his heart.
He's trying to pull a Temple of Doom.
Yeah, so this is just, like, a wild, he's not in his right mind. No. Bahubali fights back and uses his mother's chains as forearm guards against Balaladeva's scary mace, and he's ultimately able to throw Balaladeva onto the pyre that Devasena had made, and he pins him in place with a spear, and then Devasena sets the pyre on fire, so Balaladeva dies. Yay. And Bahubali is king. And that's the end. Like, it literally ends that quickly.
I did think it was really funny that Balaladeva, like, sort of makes the offer to Devasena that they can die together. He's like, come join me on the pyre. It's like, why would she do that?
I hate you.
And I did also think, like, they kind of set up in the first movie that there was maybe going to be more of, like, a he was in love with her thing.
Yeah.
And we touched on that a little bit, but not much. There were all these things that kind of got set up in the first movie that I thought for sure we'd learn more about in the second movie that we just didn't.
Yeah, like, narratively, it would have been great to learn more about them, but they were like, we don't... Like, I wouldn't even say they sacrificed the narrative for... the CGI, you know, or, like, the appearance. I think they just were like, we don't have to even think about that.
They just, like, told kind of a different story than I think I was expecting them to tell.
Yeah.
And, you know, subverting expectations isn't the worst thing in the world, but I think I was kind of set up to think something else was gonna happen in this movie. But still fun.
It was fun.
Still enjoyed it. I do think I like the first one better than the second one, but I like them both. Ultimately.
Yeah, it's tricky because it's like the things I dislike in the second one, I dislike less than the things I dislike in the first one.
Yeah,
but the things
that's
I like in the first one, I like more. Yeah.
And maybe I do wonder, maybe like watching them both like back to back immediately as if you were just watching one movie, it'll flow better.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever do that to find out.
Yeah. I mean, I think I definitely rewatch them though, which is nice.
I will as well. Yeah. There is a YouTube video that is the Telugu version without the subtitles for the second one as well.
Yeah.
So if you like now I that you know the story, just watch the
I would totally do that because honestly it's like even as someone who doesn't speak Hindi or understand it, it's annoying to not see the mouths match up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
But yeah, we will definitely watch the third one when it comes out.
I know, yeah, however many years from now that might be, but I'm in. I'll watch it.
What did you research?
Well, the title of my research this week is S.S. Rajamouli is at fault for the downfall of Bollywood.
Love this. Tell me more.
So I had too much caffeine over the weekend.
Great.
And I watched a documentary called Modern Masters, S.S. Rajamouli. And then I fell into a bit of an obsessive spiral.
Okay, yes. So sometimes that is those are healthy.
This one maybe wasn't, but it did fuel my research for this week. I'm going to try to get through this quickly.
I know. I'm so sorry. I wish that
No, it's not your fault. It's a lot of movie. This is just going to be a long episode, and that's fine.
But I think you could also tell when I started shifting into like, again,
we got to just, yeah. That's literally what the writers of this movie did too, I feel.
That's so true.
Okay. So the documentary was directed by Raghav Khanna and Tanvi Ajinkya. And in front of the camera, conducting the interviews is none other than our girl, Anupama Chopra.
Okay.
Overall, this is a highly flattering image of Rajamouli that is being painted here. I'm not going to get into, like, his background or anything like that. If you're interested, watch the documentary. I did think it was interesting that he comes from a film family, but an unsuccessful one. So he kind of broke out of his family's unsuccessful film career and has, you know, had this huge successful career.
Yeah.
I also thought it was interesting, and I remembered when he said this, I remembered actually reading this when I was doing the research for RRR, but Rajamouli actually identifies as an atheist.
Oh.
Yes, and he cites the fact that of the four Hindu yogas, only one mentions God, and he lives his life based on the karma yoga, which emphasizes selfless action and duty.
Okay.
He says that work is his God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is fascinating given that he uses so much godly imagery in his movies.
Yeah.
It's clear that within his narrow way of practicing Hinduism, he still finds room for the hierarchical nature of some of it. That he is still very much on board with, and we'll get more into that.
Okay.
So Rajamouli has been a director since the early aughts. His sort of breakout movie was called Magadira, which came out in 2009. And this was the first Telugu film to have its visual effect supervisor listed in the credits. So
that's nice.
Yeah, so this is, like, clearly a thing with Rajamouli, is his, like, he's, like, visual effects are a big part of what I'm doing. And he's right away doing things that, like, no one else in his industry are doing.
Mm-hmm.
He tells Chopra that this wasn't a conscious choice, it was a natural evolution of his filmmaking, and he knew he had reached a point in his career where producers trusted him enough to take these risks. His next movie, Iga, was even more of a risk in that its hero was a housefly, hell-bent on revenge.
Oh.
Yeah, and this is a movie
I kind of like that.
Yeah, I didn't know that he directed it, but this is an early Nani movie that I've been wanting to watch, so that was cool to hear talked about. But so then this brings us to Bahubali. And we already know this movie had the biggest budget in the history of Telugu cinema. They knew that it needed to be successful across India and not just in Telugu-speaking countries.
Mm-hmm.
So enter Karan Johar, who was brought in as a producer and the representative of the Hindi-speaking market. And they marketed this movie right out the gate as the biggest movie India has ever seen. Like, the biggest thing. And it was immediately successful in the Hindi belt, but it took a little time to get off the ground in the South. And it did eventually pick up there. But it wasn't immediately a success in the South.
Yeah. Huh.
In this documentary, Karan Johar says that Bahubali is the Sholay of their time, down to the fact that Sholay also wasn't successful in its first week opening.
Yeah.
So I want to put a pin in that success and come back to its impact on South Asian cinema, which is ultimately, like, what I wanted to talk about for my research this week.
Uh-huh.
But I want to talk a little bit more about Rajamouli and some interesting things about him. So Chopra asks him how he responded to the criticism of the first Bahubali movie, the sexism, the racism, the casteism.
Right.
Rajamouli says that it's important to him to cater to his audience, but not at the expense of being himself.
Okay.
He says he refuses to compromise on his beliefs, which just emphasizes that he does actually believe in the inferiority of certain people.
Right. Yeah. He's like, well, I am sexist and racist and castist. So
I'm just going to be me when I make my movies is essentially what his answer was.
I'd really love to hear him, like, want to learn more and maybe change. Be a better person.
Nope.
Okay.
On the subject of sexism, Rajamouli says critics missed the nuances of the scene with Ivantika not consenting to having her clothes taken off. He says that Ivantika was a reluctant warrior who wanted to be a woman, and Shivudu shows her that she can be both.
Gross. No. And I was he's exactly showing what the problem is.
Yes. I was like, you realize that what you're saying is she has to embody a man's idea of what is beautiful in order to see herself as beautiful. Mm-hmm. And she can't possibly exhibit traits like strength and ingenuity in battle while also being feminine. That is what he is saying.
I like that he's like, you didn't understand this. And it's like, no, that's exactly what we understood. Yeah. And that's why it's problematic.
The thing we have a problem with is the thing you're saying.
Yeah.
Rajamouli ultimately says that his critics have no appreciation for drama or storytelling. It's like, no, we just have a problem with problematic stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, like, compare this to Adi Chopra, who holds his audience in such high regard. And, like, at least early in his career, like, he understood his audience and he knew what they wanted and knew how to give it to them.
Yeah.
And, like, just compare that respect to what Rajamouli is saying here.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, I get it as an artist. If you're like, either you like what I do or you don't, I'm not going to change my way of doing things. But
I think that hits different when the thing you're doing is being racist.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Because, yeah, I totally agree. Like, people are able to create what they want to create until it gets to the point of actually potentially causing harm and reinforcing problematic beliefs. Interestingly, Anupama Chopra then draws a comparison to Yash Chopra, saying how all female actors always wanted to be a Yash Chopra heroine, and all male actors want to be a Rajamouli hero.
Okay.
And I might be reading too much into this, but, like, I feel like I see Anupama Chopra in this statement. You know, like, I feel like she is saying, she's not being outwardly critical of him, but she's
women
kind of
don't
being,
wanna
like,
work with you.
Yeah. And, like, you're all about making movies for men, and that's your thing. Mm-hmm. But in response to this, Rajamouli says that not everyone can fight injustice, so those who can't look to those who can, which further speaks to his hierarchical ideals of gender roles, of religious beliefs, of caste, of everything.
Ugh.
And then just a couple other things here. N.T. Rama Rao Jr. says that Rajamouli characters aren't heroes, they're weapons. And later, Rajamouli says something interesting about his actors, that he doesn't see them as creating their characters, but discovering their characters.
Okay.
And I admit that I am inclined to give an uncharitable read to anything this man says, but I interpret again here this hierarchical sense that he's the one who's providing the story, right, and his actors are just living within what he's created for them. Again, compare this to Payal Kapadia, who directed All We Imagine Is Light, and the way that she is, like, actually bringing her actors into the creative process and giving the chance to explore, and what that led to. So what I'm doing here is just saying, like, there are other ways to make movies that are less problematic.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
NTR Jr. also says that Rajamouli has no empathy. Interesting comment. And that he just wants people to give him what he wants and get out.
I appreciate that he is, like, being so upfront.
Well, and it's definitely said with kind of a, you know, a chuckle, with kind of a laugh, but there's no like follow-up to it of him being like, but no, I'm totally kidding. He's a great, great guy.
Yeah, he's so great. We laugh together. No.
Yeah, I feel like maybe there is some feeling there. And then Ram Charan, he is reflecting on Natu Natu, and he says this interesting thing about, he's like, you know, other people watch that dance number and they love it. It makes them feel happy. They feel joyful. I watch that and all I can think of is pain. And all I can think of is being made to do it again and again and again. Like, literally PTSD he has.
That's awful.
From Natu Natu. And again, like, this is said with a laugh, but it definitely seems like there's something going on here. And Roger Mouly just strikes me as one of those directors who feels like he has the right and perhaps even the need to be unkind to people as a leader to get what he wants out of them.
Ugh. And he's a Balaladeva.
He is, Katie! Yes! He's the villain of the piece. And, like,
we should have a t-shirt that says, be a Bahubali, not a Balaladeva.
Yeah, absolutely. I just, yeah, like, I feel like there are directors like that in Hollywood, too, and it's always like, well, yeah, but they make great movies, and it's like, so do other people who aren't mean.
Yeah, yeah. There's not much ground to stand on with that argument, I would say. Yeah.
Absolutely. But bringing it back to the impact, I found multiple articles that were written in the last couple of years kind of mapping out how the Bahubali franchise raised the bar for Indian cinema. Obviously, the special effects are amazing and the scope of the movie is humongous. Mm-hmm. It set up this idea of the film franchise, which was relatively new in the South Asian cinema world, where, you know, the movie was always going to have multiple parts and actors signed on to participate for, like, multiple years. Like, Prabhas apparently signed a 5-year contract. He did not do anything else in those 5 years because he couldn't change the way he looked. He was filming continuously this movie, the set of movies. Wow. Yeah.
Think of all the content we could have had.
What a waste.
Yeah.
This is also, of course, the rise of the pan-Indian movie, one that is released in multiple languages all at once and has broad-sweeping appeal across the country, not just in a particular state or area of the country. Mm-hmm. So it's no surprise that filmmakers would be trying to duplicate the spectacular gains made by Bahubali by creating movies that are just as big and flashy and broadly appealing, you know, setting aside the problematic stuff in Bahubali that maybe limit some of its appeal for some.
Mm-hmm.
But then this got me thinking about Dhruv Rathi and a video that I referenced of his in an earlier episode about the fall of Bollywood. And I've said some of this before, and that video is definitely worth watching if anyone wants to go and watch it. But essentially, Bollywood is not trying to make good movies. It's trying to make high-grossing movies. And Rathi presents this formula of a basic plot that doesn't take any risks, you put in lots of action, you cast big stars, you copy Hollywood, and then you spend, like, most of your budget on the big actor and the marketing. That's what the money goes to.
Yeah.
He also observes that there's basically only three kinds of movies coming out of Bollywood now: action, comedy, and patriotic.
Yeah, well, check.
Which has, yeah, that's what we've been seeing.
Uh-huh.
And so this formula delivers a movie that people will go see, but that is pretty much forgettable.
Yeah.
And I think one could argue that all of this started with Bahubali. Less successful movies have tried to emulate the spectacle, but have fallen short of the storytelling and the fantasy. In his article, 10 Years of Bahubali, The Beginning, B.H. Harsh observes, quote, "This is a pre-COVID movie, and it shows. Carrying the weight of its massive ambition, the film came at a time when a film could ride entirely on conviction, when cinematic storytelling was not so sternly measured against the Herculean pillars of smaller attention spans and algorithm diktats. Mm-hmm. We need more filmmakers who can display such belief in their stories and get away with it. And yet, you almost wonder if Bahubali set the right precedent or not, for it's the easiest film to be inspired by, but the toughest film to recreate."
Yes.
Bahubali was successful because of the risks that it took. You know, and again, these other movies are not taking risks, but having like these, all the, like, outlandish stuff that we've been talking about and, like, the magical moments, but it still all feels believable. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it plays on human emotion. It's centering human emotion. It's relatable in that way, even though it's completely fantastical, but that means that it's also enduring.
Yeah.
Today's Bollywood blockbusters are all superficial. They lack that emotional resonance or that fantastical storytelling. And because they spend the majority of their budget on big-name actors, marketing, and special effects, they get people into the theaters, and they have these enormous opening weekends that then peter out after those opening weekends.
Right, right. They need the longevity.
Right. Meanwhile, movies with smaller budgets miss out on those initial gains because ticket prices have gone up, meaning people can often only afford to go see one movie in a release cycle, and they're literally trying to get the most bang for their buck. So they go and see the movie that has the big star, that has the big action.
Mm-hmm.
So smaller movies, which are often the ones that are taking risks, that do center storytelling, they get taken out of theaters really quickly, and there's not the same time for word of mouth to garner a bigger following for them.
Right.
And remember that Bahubali took time to take off in certain parts of the country, so it feels especially unfair that these other movies that are a completely different caliber are not given the chance to have that same growth.
Right, yeah.
Dhruv Rettie also observes that something like DDLJ or Sholay would just die in theaters now.
That is what makes it so sad. Like,
yeah.
Like, hindsight's 20/20, and we can look back and see how much those films mattered.
Yeah.
But we won't be able to look back 20 years from now and be like, oh, that one would have been a big one, because we won't even know about it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just kind of gets swept under the rug.
Yeah.
Some movies do get a second life on streaming, like Laputa Ladies, for example, which has been viewed on Netflix more than the movie Animal, which became available to stream around the same time and had 40 times the budget. Yeah.
Yeah.
Laputa Ladies is a much better movie than Animal. It's not even a competition.
It is. I agree with that. Yeah. Ugh.
But now even streaming platforms are starting to pay for movies based on box office numbers, so that may not be a way for movies to garner success much longer.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, I don't think it's a stretch to say that Bahubali's influence has had its pros and cons in the industry. For better or worse, it moved India into a new era of filmmaking, and we can only hope that more creators will have the chance to take the same risks that Rajamouli took in making it, and that they will pay off.
That sucks. Like, I hope that maybe we just get some more, like, production houses that are specifically looking for that, those smaller, like, that smaller feel. But then again, it's like, if you can't recoup the money that you put into a film, what's the point?
Right, yeah. And I feel like streaming does really need to play a part in this, you know? And
yeah.
It needs, like, all the kind of laws and regulations and rules around streaming services and the type of gains that people make from their movies that are streaming needs to be kind of reassessed and reanalyzed so that that can happen. And I was thinking about Kalki as I was doing this too, and like, that's a movie that like took risks but had a strong narrative, like visual effects, the biggest names.
It was very cool. Yeah,
but it's a great movie, so like, there, I definitely do feel like there's hope, but
yeah it's just like, sometimes I like the quieter stuff, you know.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that in a moment.
Yes, we will. Pluggables. Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram and just Instagram.
Just Instagram. Yeah, we don't have TikTok anymore.
Right. Do what you do there. Also, consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You could leave a rating or review if you so choose. But regardless of what you do or do not do, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you indeed. And join us on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists and add the songs that we love from the movies that we watch, so we can rock out to those in our own time. You can find those playlists linked in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts.
Woo! Bollywood stuff.
Oh yeah, we just skipped right over that. I didn't have anything.
I guess that we normally do that first, don't we? Yep, that's done. Great. No Bollywood stuff. We're running late.
So next time we are watching Super Boys of Malagaon.
Right.
And we will be the first to admit that we're not 100% certain how to pronounce that word yet, but we will find out.
Yes, that's kind of how we roll.
Yeah, this is, like we said, we're shifting gears completely back to kind of small, quiet, and impactful in its own way.
I'm very much looking forward to that. I think it'll be a nice follow-up to Bahubali, the bigness.
Let's just swing in the complete opposite direction.
Yes.
Our plot description on IMDb is the journey of an aspiring filmmaker as he bands together his group of friends to make a film for his town, Malagaon.
I like that. See, I'm like, I like a friend movie.
Yeah. An underdog.
Also, Adarsh Gaurav is here, and, like, mm-hmm. we know we love him from The White Tiger.
So. Indeed we do. And Guns and Gulabs.
So I'm really excited to see him again. But it's available to watch on Amazon Prime. And the synopsis is, this is a film based on the life of Nasir Sheikh, an amateur filmmaker from the town of Malagoan. It is a poignant yet uplifting take on both filmmaking and friendship. And what happens when those two worlds collide?
Those are, like, two of the best worlds to collide, I feel.
I think so, yeah.
I've made movies with my friends. They were bad, but it was the best time.
See, yeah, great. It's gonna be great.
It is.
Hopeful.
I'm hopeful as well. Looking forward to it and to all the good things to come.
Yeah, perfect. So, until next time, remember, Bollywood and Tollywood don't need us.
They do not.
But we need them.
We do. And they need things that aren't us.
Yes.
Like movies with good storytelling. But yes. They don't need us.
Correct. But what we all need, mm-hmm. this is true last time, it's true again, it will remain true forever.
Uh-huh.
We all need Prabhas.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Done.